Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest issue of Comic Book Gentlemen, the podcast where we use our decades of being giant nerds to discuss the most divisive issues in our comic book fandom. I'm your host, Greg, joined by my constant co-host, Dave. Dave, how's it going?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good, yeah, good. So this podcast is actually a surprise for Dave, as well as our listeners, we'll see what the title I decide on. So, Dave, when we started this podcast, I randomly came up with the idea of discuss the most divisive issues in fandom.
Yes.
I just randomly thought of it. It rolled off the tongue. I was like, let's see. And then I mess it up every single episode. I mess it up every single episode.
Yeah.
So, what I decided to do is to live up to that name.
Oh.
I scoured the internet, which is a huge mistake.
And you're still sane?
I'm still sane, barely. I barely made it. I found some of the most divisive issues in fandom.
Okay.
And I'm going to just throw them at you. You're going to give me your opinion.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss.
Hopefully I have one.
Hopefully you have one. If you don't have one, I've been thinking about these for a while now because I had to go find them. I found them, some of them were from Screen Rant, had some good lists. I went on Reddit, which was scary, but I got a couple from Reddit.
And there's some really good stuff on Reddit, and then there's other dark places of Reddit that you just do not.
Don't go there. It's like Mufasa talking to Simba. This land is odd, except for that part. Don't go there. Everything the light touches. But if you can't think of anything right away, throw it to me. I'll give my opinion on it.
Sure.
But and then not to say that we're not going to deep dive on this in the future.
Yeah.
Because there's some of them that I think we could, make a whole podcast on. Oh, but just probably, quick. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah.
And go from there.
Okay.
So, that's the plan. We'll see how it goes. Okay. It might be terrible. And then plus, we're going to do a quick Black Panther Wakanda Forever review at the end. So we'll...
Wakanda Forever!
Wakanda Forever! Okay, let's start. And this is... I flip-flop between, comic books in general. Yeah. Mostly Marvel, a couple DC, just to throw that in there or whatever. So let's start off at the top. You are old.
I am.
You are. Congratulations.
Yes.
I
made it this far.
Congratulations.
Every day is a journey and a reward.
Were the 90s that bad for comic books?
Were the 90s that bad for comic books?
Yes.
Distinctly what I remember from the 90s in comic books is right around that time, you had that big split, I remember comic books being a lot about art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the artists were the biggest thing. Writers, nobody knew who wrote that. it was really good, but nobody said, hey, did you read the latest issue of X-Men written by Chris Claremont? Like, you knew some of the names, but you really didn't talk about it. It was the artists that, in my opinion, carried it. And that was, I want to say, right around the time that you saw some of the biggest names leave because they weren't getting, in their opinion, their due. But when you have, especially with Marvel, you have Jim Lee, McFarlane, Silvestri, all these guys walk away. Eric Larson, I don't know why he got thrown in there, but sure. but they walk off and they go do their own thing. And their thing is very grounded in like nowadays versus, this thing that's been going on since, in some cases, the 40s at least. It got really messy. And because I'm sorry to say, the artists couldn't write. And the writers can't draw. So comics just got really bad, in my opinion. It was just, it wasn't, you saw the Clone Saga, I want to say it was right around that time. There were some rough patches.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but at least on the image side, you could enjoy looking at the art.
Got that going for you.
It had that going for it.
Yeah.
So I would say 90s comics, I think what really hurt the industry the most, though, outside of the actual comic books themselves, was the mass production of them.
Mm.
Is they just produced too many.
Yeah.
So I mean, I remember when Spider-Man comic came out that was being written and drawn by McFarlane came out, and it was like the issue number ones that came out, and they came out with like a silver cover, a platinum cover, a regular cover, a black cover, all these covers, but they just I found one. We were on vacation down in Vernon at the time, and I happened to just walk through the mall, and somebody was giving them away as a side gift to you purchasing some other crap.
Yeah.
So no, I do think 90s comics was bad.
That's interesting.
Although I think 90s period was horrible.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. People put a lot of blame on 80s. And I go, you know what? At least I have a lot of nostalgic stuff from the 80s. I just like to forget the 90s altogether.
See, that's funny because I think the thing that really saves the 90s mm-hmm. is all the cartoons. Yeah, the yes, 90s X-Men yeah. cartoons. You had Spider-Man. You had Batman, the animated series. Like, that's the main thing that saved the 90s. But the reason this got brought up in Divisive was I read some people say, or sorry, argue that it wasn't the 90s that bad. It was just, like, got blown out of proportion. It was, like, kind of the early 2000s that was a little bit more meh. Because in my opinion, the thing that really, like, the stereotypical 90s thing was all the pouches and the extra muscles and, like, extra guns. And, like, it was
7,000 guns
extreme.
And I only used one.
Yeah. But then you had some cool things. Like, wasn't Age of Apocalypse in the 90s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you had a couple good ideas.
No,
not
to say that there wasn't some good stuff in there. There certainly was. And I think you also got introduced to some... the offshoot of seeing all this talent leave, say, Marvel, mm-hmm. for instance, was the fact that you saw a lot of other artists get to step up. And some of them were very, very good.
Oh yeah.
That you got to see come in and take over the mantle, and then all of a sudden now they're carrying it. But like, if you were reading comics back then, I would challenge anybody that was actually in the 90s reading those comics to say that this was not a pretty rough decade.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay. Next one. Is Superman too hard to do in modern context now? Basically, the idea of this is, like, Superman, the whole idea of it is supposed to be, he's supposed to, like, live for the American values of hard work and whatever, and, you know, red, white, and blue and all that stuff, and he brings his small town Kansas shit to Metropolis and tries to save the day. But, like, a lot of people, like, if you look at the movies, if you look at a lot of the comics he's been reading, he's just not as prevalent as he was when he first came out. So do you think abandon Superman, give it up, he's done, or do you think there are storylines you could do with Superman?
I mean, there's always storylines if you find the right writer. Yeah. I mean, I'm always amazed that a writer will come along and just make something that is, say, in the 80s or the 90s or whatever, was absolutely trash and horrible. And then they get a hold of it and they take it in a different direction, or they spin it a little differently. And then you're like, oh, crap, okay, that's actually not that bad. I would give is, like, the Clone Saga was absolutely disastrous mess. Mostly due to writers getting shifted around, editors getting involved. It was brutal. But I think the clone conspiracy that they did just recently, to try and fix some of that, to try, was done and spun in a way that made it fun and made it make sense to some degree. Like, it still wasn't, like, out of this world, but it was just better.
Yeah.
So I do think that with Superman, he is more Captain America than Captain America.
Yeah.
Which is weird. you'd think that this guy coming down, by now they would have transitioned him into more of a, you know, and maybe they are doing this, I don't read Superman, but maybe transition him more into, like, I'm a representative for the entire planet, you know, like, I'm, you know, and you have seen him kind of get involved in other things, but for him to be, you know, waving the American flag and this, that, and the other, I think he's a very hard character to write for, period, just because, like, my impression is he's the toughest. He's the best. He's like, you got Kryptonite that can stop, you know, help stop him. But other than that, he's just too powerful.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the Hulk. How do you write the Hulk?
Yeah.
You know, like, he's just an unstoppable mess. Yeah. So I think it's a tough character, and I think still pigeonholed into what he was when he was first made.
Yeah,
they need to change him a little bit. I did appreciate what Snyder did, in the sense that gave him a little bit more of an edge in the movies. Probably gonna get, you know, absolutely ripped apart for that. But he seemed more realistic. If you grew up on a planet of humans, you're gonna be more human. And the fact that he, like, killed somebody, had emotion, like what he did to that trucker's truck in the movie, like like, those are human emotions, and that made sense. Whereas, like, it's like he was always, like I said, more Captain America than Captain America. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, what blows my mind is, like, especially where we are now as a society, like, people would argue, like, oh yeah, we can't, you know, the whole 40s and 50s mentality, air quotes, was, you know, you can't replicate that nowadays with Innocence Lost or whatever. But like, his main villain is an evil billionaire that hates immigrants. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you talking about? That's perfect allegory for modern days. How can you not?
Way too early.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, how can you not? How can they not think of better ways to portray Superman in movies and in comics? Like, it blows my mind that they keep fumbling it, you know?
Yeah. Like, he's a great character. Like, I mean, he was always like, I mean, you know, like, growing up, people were always like, oh, Batman's cool, man. Yeah, Superman's a loser. But Superman was a loser because he was the Boy Scout.
Yeah.
He was the good guy. He did all the good things. But as a character, he's a great character.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And that's why I was surprised. Like, when Bendis went over and started writing him, I was like, oh, okay, well, we should see some cool, neat chick. No,
nothing.
Didn't happen. I don't know why. I don't know why blows nobody can fix that.
Yeah, blows my mind. And then, like, if you look at the best portrayal of Superman, in my opinion, and I say this for most of DC, is the Bruce Timm universe of Justice League. And, like, I think the great part about Superman in that context was him interacting with the other heroes and just his different perspective on things, right? Yeah. Like, one of my favorite episodes is when they have the Christmas episode, which is goofy to say, but, like, he still believes in Santa Claus, and, like, his parents have to still wrap his presents up in lead wrapping paper so he doesn't peek, you know, type of thing. Like, it just shows the, not innocence, but, like, the good in him and, like, how it reflects off of, like, Batman and Wonder Woman and all of them, right? And,
Like, it's really funny that you've got, like for instance, Hyperion in Marvel. Mm-hmm. You've got, what the hell is his name in The Boys?
Homelander.
Homelander. Yeah. You've got these, like, Superman ripoff-y kind of, which are better. because they're characters. They have flaws.
Yeah.
They have interesting ideas wrapped around them. Like, it baffles me that somebody hasn't figured that out yet.
No, it has potential.
Yeah.
Swinging over to Marvel, this one's probably gonna be a quicker one. Mm-hmm. Daredevil, mm-hmm. yellow suit versus red suit.
Red suit,
hands down.
By far.
When was the yellow suit? I totally missed it. That was
the first one.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If you like Google cover of like Daredevil issue one.
Okay.
He was in this golden. Golden red suit, which like I'm glad in the TV shows they were like, or She-Hulk, it was like, oh, it's mustard, because it certainly wasn't mustard in the comics. It was yellow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, the red is so good. Like, it looks amazing. Yeah, by far. So much better,
hands down.
Okay, next one. Superhero registration. This is one that I think we could definitely make into a full podcast. A really really quick one. Do you think if superheroes were real, you'd want some sort of registration aspect behind it?
If they were real?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because I'm not one of them. you know, it's interesting. I think from the comic book perspective, I liked the registration part in the sense that it kind of divided. You got Civil War out of it.
Yeah.
And I think if they would have kept that going, it would have been kind of fun in the sense of, because some of these heroes were like that already anyway. Spider-Man, they were constantly shooting at. you know, like, some of these heroes they were shooting at, but somebody like Captain America wasn't. So you could have quite easily said, okay, these ones are registered with the government, they're with the Avengers. The Avengers, like, at least some deep part of the government knows who these people are. And then there's these other people who we still treat as illegal, so they have that extra added, like, not only am I fighting the bad guy, but I gotta watch out for the cops because they're trying to arrest me because I'm, you know, a vigilante. And that's the part that I never really understood with where they went with a lot of superheroes of recent, is these people are vigilantes.
Yes.
Okay, so everything that they're doing is assault at the bare minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, it's like, oh, Spider-Man's here, and then he just leaves and nobody cares. Whereas like back in the day, it was like, I remember issues where he was trying to get away and he got shot in the calf, and then that actually had a part of the story later on when he was fighting a supervillain. He was still dealing with his calf injury from somebody shooting him with a bullet. I think it would be cool if it was in real life. Yes, what registration, 100%.
I think it depends on how people get powers. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're in a universe where it's like X-Men or My Hero Academia, where people are just born and are gifted, I think that the forced registration of that is always going to be more complicated because of freedoms and privacy and issues. The immediate counterpoint to that, though, is what if you have somebody who can just summon a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
You kind of need to know
that. Yeah, you kind of need
like,
to know.
I've seen some universes where the way they control it is it's more about like a driver's license, where it's like, okay, you're born with powers or whatever, you gain powers. Yeah. You need to learn how to use them, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because obviously this is just an issue of comics are made for entertainment. So mm-hmm. obviously they're not going to do this aspect, but some powers aren't meant for crime fighting. Or to be a criminal. Some powers are good for, like, you know, I can cook really well, or I can translate languages and like this type of stuff. And like in that context, like, you probably don't need to be registered. You just need to learn how to use your powers, right? And I lean away from registration, unless, like you said, it's like an Avenger situation where it is, I'm actively trying to be a crime fighter. Then it's like people need to you have to have some sort of legal
training
/ oversight to make sure you don't cross the line, right? So,
but we all know the government is bad.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's the issue, is like, what about military? What about, you know, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's I think that's what made Civil War so great, is that it is such a deep issue that in a lot of cases really even severed and broke up groups like the Fantastic Four, because you had two on each side that were like, yay and nay. It's a tough question. I think if I can see from a standpoint, you know, obviously I have no powers other than getting old.
It's a great superpower.
It's fantastic. is like, I would be like, yeah, register those guys, because I don't know who they are or what they're doing. And but yeah, it's a tough question.
Yeah, there's so much nuance.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being introduced in the comics, though, because I just think it creates so much friction all over the place in all kinds of different ways.
Well, like you said, like, one of the best parts of Civil War was seeing who was pro, who was against, and having, and like, even just the Fantastic Four is a great example of like a family fighting, infighting, and it's just such a great moment in comic
history. And typical Spider-Man flip-flopping.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, who's showing me appreciation next? Because that's the side I'm on.
Oh, man. Classic Peter.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to DC again.
Okay.
This one's more philosophical as opposed to comic related.
Okay.
Should Batman kill the Joker?
Ooh. I mean, at this point, counting the body count, yes. Probably should have killed him a while ago.
Yeah.
It's so funny, because I always found like Batman, you know, he's kind of got that that Wolverine edge to him, you know, like in comparison, like attitude, like, we'll do whatever we need to do to get the job done. Except Batman will beat you to within like an inch of your life, and then, you know, but can't do that extra punch to finish you off. Because I think with the Joker, from a standpoint of, like how many people he's killed and lives he's ruined and everything else, Batman probably should have killed him a while ago.
My thing is that I'm 100% against death penalty. I think the biggest thing that holds back this conversation is the fact that it's so easy for the Joker to escape. Like, how many times has Batman managed to thwart Joker, stop him from killing people, but then he just gets out the next day?
I would say Arkham needs a security upgrade.
Something, right? Like the amount of magic they have in the universe, and like, there's so many ways they could stop the Joker without killing him.
Yeah.
But then it always comes down to this, like, oh, we should just kill him because it's the easiest way. But then you have that philosophical question of like,
is that the way to go?
But then you have the issue of like self-defense. Like, there's been multiple situations like where if the suicide bomber is going for a building, you kind of have to take him out for self-defense, right? And it's a little bit more morally.
Yeah, I think at this point, God, how many people has he killed?
Oh, yeah, it's countless. It's countless. Yeah.
How many people's lives he's ruined?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Like, I would think at this point, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, I'll bend that rule. Like, you think at some point that, you know, Batman would go over the edge and go, okay, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I just got to put this guy out of his misery.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know there's been no, not being the deepest of Batman fans, I don't know how much they've tried to, fix him. And how that wouldn't work, I think that would be a fantastic little miniseries. Just him talking to a psychiatrist for four issues would be great.
White Knight, which I've talked a little bit about, by Sean Murphy, it's kind of talking about that. Like, what if we tried to fix the Joker and like all that? So it's very interesting when they do.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, because the Joker's so iconic, even if you have a whole storyline about fixing the Joker, guess what? The next day, somebody else is going to be like, oh, I want to be crazy again. Let's go.
What I find interesting with some of these characters, though, is like, what I appreciated about the Superman movie was like when he broke Zod's neck, it was out of desperation and just in the moment, watching as these people might die, he made a decision, snapped it. And what always bothers me in the comic books is that nobody in the comic books, in these like highly emotional, intense moments, just accidentally goes, oh crap, I hit him with, you know, Spider-Man. I punched somebody with my full 10-ton strength and took their head off.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens. They're always so restrained.
Which is hilarious, because, not hilarious, but that's ridiculous. Why that Daredevil run was so prolific. I'm blanking on the writer name, but the one that you got me to read 2019, the latest one. Why we suck at this? We talked about it so many times.
Yes.
But that's why it was such a good storyline, is because he accidentally kills somebody. And that's the ramifications of, like, should you go to jail? Should you be tried? Should you, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Zdarsky. Zdarsky, yeah. Thank you. Chip Zdarsky. Yeah, we've only talked about it every single podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Why are we the worst at names? Going back to Marvel, who is the best X-Men leader? Again, one that we could talk about for hours. just your first inclination, who do you lean towards? I can go first if you want.
No, I'm just going to say Cyclops.
Okay. I still hate you.
Yeah.
But why? Why is it?
Partially because I know you, it irritates you. That's part of the reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. It's a big factor.
The other part is I think that it's hard to look at it now, because like it's always that recency bias, right? Yeah. Like, who is Cyclops now? Yeah, Cyclops is a little rough around the edges. They've done some stuff to him.
Yeah.
I think he, like, if you look at you know, earlier versions of Cyclops, when he was the X-Men, when he lost in a fight to Storm in the Danger Room and handed over the reins of the X-Men to him, he was a different guy.
Yeah.
And he was the perfect leader in the sense that he knew, like, especially back then, he knew when to say, you know, I need you to think about this and tell me what to do because you're smarter or you're more emotionally in tune with what's going on. The Cyclops that you see now is just a, like, he's a mess of a character. Like, with everything that's happened to him, I'm surprised he's just not, like, you know, sitting there with Sinister playing checkers or something, because he's just a mess. But I think ultimately, if you look back at the track record of him as a leader, he's the best leader.
I think I agree with you in the sense of when he's written well, he is the best strategic leader.
Yes.
In my opinion, though, one of my favorite moments of this was when Wolverine and him did the schism.
Yes.
And it was, but like, I agree with you. It context is important here, because the lead up to schism was post House of M. Mm-hmm. The mutants have been being, you know, focused on and bring to extinction for like 10 years at this point.
Yeah.
And Cyclops is at the point where if you have powers, guess what? You're in the army.
Yeah.
And he's pushing it. Whereas Wolverine goes, I'm a killer. That doesn't mean every single kid should be a killer.
Right.
And then he goes, you know, there are going to be some mutants that just aren't X-Men, and they deserve to have childhoods, and they deserve to go to school and have lives. Meanwhile, when things need to get done, I'm willing to make that attack. I'm willing to make that blow. And that's why I vote for Wolverine. I think Wolverine had, you know, it's interesting, because like, I was going to make the comment of, you know, Cyclops has been around since the 50s or whatever. So it's just like, just that much history. Yeah. But like, Wolverine theoretically has been around for like hundreds of years, and he just has that level of awareness, and like, he knows the traumas up and down and like what it can do to people. Yeah. And I think
I think like at the point where we're at right now, like, Cyclops, I think as a character has just been beaten down so much from the fact that, like, you know, we're always out to help, and we always get, shit on all the time. And it's just bad. And like, he's just finally been beaten down. Wolverine obviously doesn't want everybody, because he didn't have a choice.
No.
He was just taken and he was turned into a weapon, and that was that. So, I mean, those two characters made sense for the roles that they played in that. But I just think from a perspective of, you know, who am I looking for as a leader? As I don't want somebody as a leader that's the upfront, like, I'm the toughest guy, I do all the right thing. Like, they make a decision or they defer to other people.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's him. Whereas I found Storm was a great X-Men leader.
Yeah. She's in contention for sure.
Yeah. I think she's fantastic. But characters like Rogue, I don't understand how Rogue ever was a X-Men leader. Just didn't make sense. You know, if you're looking for, you know, a military strategic, like, I think Cable was very, very good,
mm-hmm.
but would sacrifice the entire team
yeah.
to accomplish whatever he had to accomplish. So,
yeah, that's a good point. It's like, when you narrow it down to X-Men, I think the pyramid is like, what do you mean by X-Men? Is it a superhero team? Is it the representative of mutants? Is it, you know, that type of thing? So that's a good point as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely debatable. Another general one, and we kind of argued about this in the past, mm-hmm. but now where are you at in your life? Graphic novels versus
older.
I need to stop ragging on you for this. That's the whole point of the podcast.
Yes,
you know?
it's just to keep track of my age.
Yes. Graphic novels versus comics versus digital. Where are you at now?
Oh, honestly, because my collection's really starting to take over my room. it's expensive.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, it depends on what it is. Like I've really been doing some reflecting on this. I've grown in my time on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for me, I look at certain things and I say, graphic novel makes sense. Like, for instance, reading Dawn of X.
So
I'm not going to buy every issue, all those issues. I collect the X-Men. I have those issues. But all the other stuff that goes, so it kind of makes sense. Or if I want to read a particular story in Batman, I'm not a Batman collector, but I like that story. Like, I like Hush, or I like, you know, some aspect that I want to read. It's a perfect format. Here's exactly what you need. Go ahead and read.
Yeah.
I think as a collector of somebody, like, I love Spider-Man, I love Daredevil. Like, there's certain characters that I'm like, I will never stop collecting because I just, that's my guy.
Yeah.
I'm team whatever. And I will buy those. But I think certain other ones, like, as I look at it now, I go, yeah, I could probably read X-Men as digital.
Yeah.
Or Avengers as digital. I could probably read Fantastic Four as digital.
Yeah.
And not care. I could probably read a lot more digital of stuff that I don't collect.
Yeah.
So I think it's a mishmash of, like, it depends what perspective or what direction you're coming from. Like, if you're a collector, I can't see if you're a hardcore Spider-Man fan, I don't understand how you couldn't collect every issue, right? How you wouldn't be like, look, I don't want to wait for the graphic novel. I want to see the issue because I want to know what's going on right now. But I have opened up a lot to the graphic novel aspect, especially if they're unique and created specifically to be a graphic novel. But the digital is just amazing because it's so cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And you can read anything and everything. And I like the format of you know, being able to go from frame to frame to frame. Like, mm-hmm. just, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
From that aspect. So if you just want to, like, I just want to read everything.
You can't not go digital.
Yeah, you can't not digital.
And especially as technology gets better. Like,
which is ridiculous because I do all three.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's hilarious. I think the funny thing is, like, we still have issues with Marvel Unlimited, like, technology-wise, but then, like, just the sheer amount of reading you can do for that little money.
I don't understand why DC hasn't done this.
Well, they've tried. They've just also had tech versions. Well, it's because they keep switching owners is the problem. So if they could just figure that out, they'll probably do it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm always anti-individual issues, but that's just because I'm not a collector. Yeah. I just never got around to it. But I was at the comic book store in Grand Prairie recently, and I noticed some individual comic issues were like this, like, they were a little bit bigger and a little bit thicker and, like, nicer printing. Have you seen any of these?
I mean, there will be certain certain issues that they put out that will be like I can think of. I think the most recent one was Amazing Spider-Man. I think it was like 850 or something like that. Was like it actually had a spine, like a book, because it was so thick. You'll see that occasionally, or you'll see somebody put out like it's the first issue of something, or it's the, you know, it's a the start of a run on a particular story, and they'll do slightly different comics for it, like whether it's a harder cover or obviously you see the poly covers and the hologram covers and all that kind of stuff, but I usually don't.
I thought it was an intriguing way of doing it, like, because it made it, in my opinion, more of a collector's item. Like, it felt more like the problem with regular comic issues is one, they're just so flimsy that if you don't put them in plastic, like, they're just gonna blow away type of thing. But like having a little bit higher quality just made it better. I mean, it was just a mini graphic novel, and the feel of it anyways, right?
And what I appreciated about the fact that like at one point again back in the 90s they saturated the market. It was horrible. It was getting bad. And then they you know kind of pulled everything back, and then they started introducing like variant covers was a big thing, and they do like two or three variant covers, and that was cool. Now it's like you know like the first issue of like Spider-Man series or Daredevil series have come out, and there's like 25 or 30 variant covers.
They get every
It's just
artist.
like, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, the amount of Scotty Young variant covers there are is insane.
It just I mean, and not to say that I haven't grabbed like the occasional one because I really like an artist that did it, but I mean, for a collector, somebody that's going out and going like, oh, issue number one, yeah, I have 57 issues of that because of the all the variant covers.
Oh my
It's just
gosh.
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense at all. But
No.
yeah, I definitely still lean graphic novels, but digital's growing more and more in my collection.
Yes.
Last one I got for you.
Ooh.
You just said, huge Spider-Man fan. So I'm very curious about your opinion on this. So Batman has the Joker, Superman has Lex
Lex
Luthor as
Luthor.
their main. Who is Spider-Man's main villain that you think just t stands the test of time, is the guy?
Himself.
Himself? You know what? It was
No.
the rent of New
It,
York City.
yes, it was his poor education.
He's really smart though, but
yeah,
yeah,
he is
whatever.
very smart.
Yeah.
His main villain is Norman Osborn.
Okay, so why? Because a lot of people argue this, because a lot of people are pushing way more towards Doc Ock, in my from what I've seen.
I would say just because if you look at a lot of the monumental moments of Spider-Man, Death of Gwen Stacy, huge, you know, pivotal point in Peter Parker Spider-Man's life, it was the Green Goblin. Green Goblin's constantly messing with him to the worst degree, like very much like the Joker. Except I think there's a little more control and a little more planning with Norman Osborn
Just
versus
a
the
little
Joker.
bit, just
The
a little
Joker
bit.
is just like, woo!
Yeah.
And from a cool factor, he's way cooler. Just the whole aspect of him is neat. And the fact that they killed him off. Okay, so Norman Osborn died. Yeah, they had a couple of renditions. Like Harry took up the mantle for a while, then Harry's psychologist took up the mantle for a while. So you had these other renditions, but then they kind of like faded out. But even though he was dead in by issue, I think it was what 120, 121, 122 of Amazing Spider-Man. Even though he was dead, he was still talked about constantly. Like he's still there. Like Dr. Octopus, great. I like Dr. Octopus. I like a lot of a lot of his Rogues Gallery. I really like Hobgoblin if they would do him correctly. And what they did with him like in the 90s and late 80s with what they did with Hobgoblin was like you didn't know who he was. You didn't know who he was, which was terrifying because they constantly were hinting that he was somebody else. So you just didn't know who he was, and he just seemed to be a lot more methodical and a lot more like willing to just go like, oh, I'll just kill Aunt May. Like, well, I'm not gonna mess around. Like, oh, look, I'm torturing you. I'm just gonna kill her. Like, he just seemed very like sc just scary from that perspective. But he was dead. He was like Norman was dead, and he's still. They talked about him, talked about him, talked about him, talked about him. no other villain has died, and then obviously been brought back, because that's just what happens.
Yeah.
Died, been kept dead that long, and still had that much of an impact on a character's
trajectory, origin. Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, the best villains are when they're an antithesis to a character's main thesis, right? So, like, for Batman, it's like, you know, trauma happens. Mm-hmm. It's what you do moving forward is what's more important. So, like, you know, Batman's parents die. He then decides to fight crime, whereas Joker falls in a vat of acid and a bunch of other stuff, depends on the origin, but then decides to go crazy and just kill everybody. Superman was born with amazing powers, decides to try to help people. Lex Luthor was born with billions of dollars and becomes Jeff. It's the, you know, origin story of Jeff Bezos. Yep. You know, you know, type of thing. And so for me, I feel like I don't get that from Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just because I'm of the more modern takes on him. It's just a little bit different. Like, maybe if it, like you said, maybe it was more hairy, maybe it would have been a little bit more easy to connect them. I think the people, like, I can see it from Doc Ock a little bit. I actually think the one that really reflects Spider-Man the best is Venom. Originally.
Yeah, reach across is just...
I know, strangling. I know. In the end, you're the main fan, so your opinion is way more weighted than mine. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why Venom, when he originally was created, is because, again, it's the great power comes with great responsibility. Spider-Man randomly got spider powers, decides to try to fight crime as opposed to, like, you know, profiting off of it. Venom, in the other hand, randomly gets powers, decides to just terrorize Spider-Man, and you know, if he was more of a villain, would have terrorized a lot of random people as well, whereas now he's like a whole anti-hero, and it doesn't really work with my argument. But I think if you look at that perspective, I think it's potentially a little bit more.
I would think that, like, if in your definition, if you're looking at like an opposite, basically, if you're saying the opposite is the one, then you have, I think you would have to say you have Spider-Man on one, I have power, I have responsibility, I gotta take care of people. I think his opposite would be Carnage.
Okay, yes. Sorry, that's
because,
way better.
Yeah, because Carnage is just like, look, I have some powers, I'm just gonna do whatever I want and kill everybody. With the Green Goblin, I think, again, like, you have this you know, that recency bias of like, well, what is he doing now? Like, back when Green Goblin was, like, first introduced and stuff, A, you didn't know who he was. B, he basically got these powers and then decided, I'm going to use them to get rich. I'm going to get them. I'm going to use them to be powerful, right? The opposite of, in a way, of what Spider-Man was doing. Spider-Man was like, I'm going to help people. Norman Osborn was like, I'm going to help myself. You know, so there was an opposite there in the sense of that. But again, as the characters have continued to, you know, move forward, I don't even know how Norman Osborn walks around at this point and people don't just arrest him or beat him to death. Because, like, it's like all of the horrible stuff. That would be like the Joker suddenly being reformed and everybody just going, oh, okay, well, you know, he's admitted he did some bad stuff. So he's okay.
He said,
you know,
sorry.
You know, he's got a job at the McDonald's down the street. He's good. Yeah. Like, no, it just, he's done so many horrible things. And I think that's where they go wrong with some of these villains is like Norman Osborn shouldn't be able to do anything at this point.
Yeah.
Like, with everything that's happened, he's done enough that you'd think, like, oh, this guy's written off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why
consequences for your actions,
I am very much a big fan of what they used to do, where they had a villain. Not all villains, but they had a villain, and you didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
For issue on issue on issue. And they're kind of doing that with the Hobgoblin right now in Amazing Spider-Man, as they brought him back, and they're kind of, again, twisting that wheel of, like, is it Kingsley? Or is it Ned Leeds? Or is it somebody else? Like, what is going on here? And I hope they lead to, it was neither one of those guys. We don't know who he is. He's just somebody else out there doing his thing. Because I think that's when he was at his most terrifying.
Yeah. No, good point. Like I said, in the end, you're the Spider-Man guy. So I'll take your more weight in your words. So that's kind of all I have for that one.
Well, I have one for you.
Okay, give me one.
Okay, we were just talking about it a little while ago. Aquaman or Namor?
I immediately lean more towards Aquaman only because I've never read Namor. Never. Like, the only time I've ever seen Namor is in the context of whenever something big happens with mutants, mm-hmm. and then they ask, like, hey, technically you're a mutant, do you want to be evolved? Like, when they did AVX, he was involved, and when they did Krakoa, they mm-hmm. asked him, like, do you want to be a part? He's like, fuck you guys, I'm my own kingdom, and that type of thing. So, yeah. That's my, if it was just that interaction, yeah, okay, Namor is the best. But other than that, I know nothing about Namor. I like Aquaman only... mainly just because of the New 52. Yeah. I thought it was a great
that
take.
That was a great run.
Great run on it. I mean, if you look at Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, he had some interesting storylines back then. But, I mean, both... I just... You know, water powers just don't do it for me. Like,
they're tough.
They're tough, right?
Tough,
like,
power.
To make interesting. And I think the idea... Like, the people always argue for it in the sense of, like, oh, the world is 80% water. Mm-hmm. But the problem is like...
Nobody goes.
Nobody gives a shit. And I think that's what was great about New 52 is they were finding new threats underwater for him to fight.
Yeah,
and
those terrifying...
The trench. Coming like, it was... Yeah. They found reasons for him to be in the water and make it interesting. But then, like, the second he's on land, it's like, well, there's a million other superheroes that make more sense in this context, right? So, what's your opinion?
I would say, like, as far as a character, I think Aquaman's obviously been more fleshed out. Mm-hmm. So you have more to go on. I think, again, as we were discussing, I think if they went the direction of the Wakanda Forever, the MCU one, I like that so much, so much better. But the ultimate question,
Okay.
All things equal.
All things equal.
Okay. Movies were just as good.
Yeah.
Animated series were just as good.
Yeah.
Comics were just as good. Right? They're all even par.
Yeah.
DC's group versus Marvel.
So
DC Marvel.
So what do you mean by versus? Do you mean in a fight? Or do you mean you had to pick one for
you
the
had
rest
to pick
life.
One to read the rest of your life.
I see. I think it's so hard to say all things equal because because they're not equal, right? Like, I'm good.
But they're not equal because this is my take. They're not equal because some characters, and even within their own domain, some characters have had better writers and better artists, better development over years, because that's just who they chose to focus in on.
If I was to break down my top five storyline, top five reads, I'm pretty sure majority of them would be DC.
Right.
Like storylines. But if I broke it down to my five favorite characters, majority of them would be Marvel. So I don't know how to reconcile that, you know? I think if I had to choose one, like, gun to my head, I would choose Marvel. Just because, like you said, I have more favorite characters. And even if they don't have as big of stories as they do, like, in DC, like with Dark Knight Returns and that type of stuff, I think day-to-day, there's more, like, on average, it's better.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I'm definitely saying Marvel.
Yeah.
Just because those are the ones that I connected with early on in life.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man, obviously being the best one. However, I mean the first superhero that I remember like thinking about or understanding or even was Superman because I saw the Christopher Reeves
movie.
Superman movie.
Yeah.
So I mean that was there, but I think just from a character base, like if I strip away all the writing because you just had a really good writer that came in and did a really good thing with a character. But strip away that, just look at the characters themselves and the very base level of the character, not all the crap that's happened to him since. As I like the Marvel universe. I find the Marvel universe just a little more
human
and diverse in the sense of like not everything is the same.
Yeah. like I think the reason why Justice League is so good, like especially Bruce Timm, is because you had just like the most powerful people on the planet saving the planet. And like the people they were going up against and the stories they had to deal with were just so tremendous that it was amazing. But like, again, that's so niche and specific. Whereas like you have in Spider-Man dealing with, you know, trying to balance family versus all this stuff. Whereas you don't get that a lot with DC characters and that type of thing. Yeah. So yeah, I think all things equal, I still lean Marvel. One of these days we got to find an actual DC fan to argue with us, because even we did a podcast that was Marvel versus DC, and of course you and I leaned to Marvel, but it's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
But I agree with you. Like, I mean, the Long Halloween, like some of the stuff that they've done that have been very niche, very specific, have been better than most Marvel. Stuff that Marvel has done.
Yeah, here's my pitch for you. I think DC's top end is stronger, mm-hmm. but Marvel's middle section is stronger.
Unfortunately, that top end consists of like 88% of Batman.
Yeah, 100%, right? That's the thing. If they didn't have Batman, DC would have nothing. Yeah, like it's ridiculous.
It's so bad.
But yeah, that's our, you know, divisive discussion, you know, type of thing. So let us know what you thought about this format. Obviously, like we said, there's a good chance that we're going to deep dive on some of these topics in future podcasts. So let us know which ones you would really want us to tackle. Or if you have a divisive topic you want us to discuss, throw it in the comments and make sure to follow us wherever you find this podcast. Now we're going to transition, though, into our Black Panther Wakanda Forever discussion.
Spoiler alert.
Full spoilers, because it's impossible for us to talk anything without spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, go see it and come back. If you're okay with spoilers or you have seen it, stay tuned for this discuss.
Yeah.
So let's start beginning, what were you thinking going into the movie?
It's the first Marvel movie that I was truly excited about going to see. That I saw the minute it was like in phase four so far. It's the first one that I've gone that I was there. And this includes, sadly enough, even the Spider-Man one.
Wow.
We went the first day that it was out. I saw it as my wife and I went to the matinee.
Sorry, just to clarify, first movie you're excited for in phase four or all of MCU?
No, okay. Just phase four.
Phase four, okay.
Yeah, first one that I was just like, that one I
was seeing. Why was it so hype for you?
Part of it was curiosity, and part of it is like, I really genuinely think Black Panther is an awesome character. Mm. Like, he's an amazing, amazing character. Like, I just wish that Marvel would dedicate a truly great writer and artist to the comic for a good portion of time to really flesh it out and develop it. Because what they've done thus far has been kind of hit and miss and all over the place. For me, I like the character, but I was very curious to see how they were going to handle going into a movie without their lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy that was Black Panther, right? That'd be like going into a Captain America movie and, you know, not having either, you know, is it Anthony Mackie and
Chris Evans.
Having neither one of them in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was very curious to see, like, how are you going to transition? How are you going to move this? This is a very difficult thing to do. And that's what got me excited about going to it. Plus, I really liked the first one.
Yeah. First one was good. Mm-hmm. And Civil War was good. And mm-hmm. him in Infinity War and Endgame mm-hmm. was great. Apparently, speaking of the comic books, apparently the Ta-Nehisi Coates mm-hmm. run on it is really good. Have you ever read it?
No, I read his run on Captain America.
Okay.
People were kind of like 50-50 on it. I actually quite liked it. Okay. I liked his
run. Apparently his run on Black Panther is really good. I really need to read it. So potentially that's kind of like you're saying, a more modern take and good shit on it.
Yeah.
Me going into it, I was hesitantly optimistic
mm-hmm.
because so far in phase four, especially in 2022, it's been real hit and miss. Not even hit. Like, it's mostly been real miss. Mostly miss. Because technically, No Way Home is December of 2021. So it's going to count as 2022. Yeah,
fair enough.
So, this year has not been hitting for me yet for anything. Mm-hmm. So I was, but like you said, Ryan Coogler is amazing.
Yeah.
The people they have working on it is amazing. Mm-hmm. The cast
was great.
Yes, it had the ingredients to be good. So
yeah.
What were your thoughts? What did you like? What did you hate?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yes, like any movie, you can sit on it and pick at it and find holes and mm-hmm. you know, little grudges on stuff. I thought overall, it was, considering the daunting task of having a Black Panther movie without Black Panther, without T'Challa, I thought was really well done. Like, I think the beginning of the movie was a very respectful nod to him. And then when that was over, they moved forward.
Yeah.
And the way they move forward, like, again, you know, I think the one disappointing part about going to the movie is I didn't want Black Panther to be anybody else. And not because, you know, sexist, or I didn't want, you know, a woman to take over the mantle. I understand, you know, Shuri did take over the mantle at some point. It was like, I just wasn't ready to let go of T'Challa yet.
T'Challa.
Because I was like, he is Black Panther. Like, that's the guy. And I wanted to see more movies of him.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately we're never going to get. And people will say, well, you got him in this one and this one. It's like, yeah, but it wasn't his movie.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see more of him. But, you know, with that said, I was curious because they did, you know, a semi good job of kind of confusing you as to who might pick up the mantle.
Yeah.
I thought it was just great. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it had its holes, and yes, it definitely felt like there was some, you know, Disney interference in the sense of like, you have to put this in this and you have to do this in it. As far as connecting plot lines and other stuff. Yeah. But outside of that, I thought they did a great job.
Well, you even said to me before we started the podcast mm-hmm. that you think this should be the new Namor even in the comics.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Like, which is 100% crazy. Because it just, like, it was so grounded in, I guess, it was just grounded in today. Like, I mean, if you want to make a character, if you want to take a character, you want to diversify and you want to have, you know, some other cultural and ethnic exposure, here's a perfect. And I thought I was really questioning when I went in, like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off. I think there was a couple people going around, like, showing you pictures of another actor as Namor. And I was like, wow, that's Namor, like, right out of the comics.
Yeah.
He looked exactly like him. But this rendition, I thought he was great. Mm-hmm. He was by far probably my favorite part of the whole show.
Yeah. I think for me, like you're saying, you could poke holes in
yes,
it. Absolutely. I think the big flaws I had with it was the pacing. And I'll chalk that more up to, like you said, the Disney interference. And because this is just, it's not only supposed to be an action movie, it's also supposed to be a tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And like, trying to balance those crazy, you know, expectations out of it is just tough, right? So I think you can chalk that up to those issues. And then I think the third act, just like, I think the potential behind it that was set up in the first two hours or whatever was so interesting. But then like mm-hmm. after you get past the attack on Wakanda by the Talokanians, it just kind of falls apart a little bit in the sense of like, why did they do this? Why didn't they do this instead? And like, mm-hmm. just like those obvious, like, why did the character do this? It doesn't make sense. I think, though, it was ballsy to not only be a tribute to T'Challa, but then to also kill the mom. I was like, wow, I can't believe you're doubling down on this, right?
Both my wife and I were sitting there after. It was like, okay, they're trying to revive her, and then all of a sudden they cut to, like, the funeral scene. And we were like, what?
Yeah, like, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God, what?
Yeah, like, I can't believe Shuri wasn't even more of a mess. And then when they had Killmonger as her vision quest, whatever you want to call it, I was like, oh shit, she gonna kill some people. And I think that really differentiates between her and Chadwick as Black Panther, or sorry, Shuri versus T'Challa as Black Panther, is like, she's had so much trauma in her life at this point that of course her role as Black Panther is going to be so much different than what he had.
Well, and if you think about it, like, I mean, even though she had the one character there, and
M'Baku,
there to say, like, hey, I'll help you.
Yeah.
I will guide you. She had nobody to kind of
help
her get through this.
M'Baku, like,
her
of all people.
Yeah, her mom's gone. Her older brother's gone. Like, there's nobody there to kind of help her guide through these messy waters. And it shows, because, like, her first little run around with the suit on, she was just angry.
Yeah,
like, she was just Mad Panther.
Yeah,
like, she was just like, I just want to kill people.
Yeah,
like, it was different.
I think, again, like, the biggest nitpick I have for it was they were just so inconsistent with the Talokanians' powers and Namor's modus operandi.
Yeah.
Like, they showed in the bridge scene, which was amazing, with the Koye versus them. Like, the choreography was so good. But they showed that the Atlanteans, or whatever you want to call them, can't die. Like, they're tougher and, like, a regular thing. But then in the final battle, the Wakandans were going toe-to-toe with them and, like, taking them out. And I was just so confused. I was just like, this makes no sense from what you showed me in the first half of this movie.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense for the second half.
And it was great. Like, there was a lot of, like, and what I appreciated was, like, these under the water, not cameos, but I hate how they say that. Like, they were like, oh, there's a Thunderbolt cameo. And I was like, oh, who's this going to be? And it was Julius Dreyfus. And yeah. I'm like, that's not a cameo. She's in the movie. Mm-hmm. A cameo is they're just there for like 30 seconds and then gone.
Yeah, they say a line.
Like, it's so dumb. But I thought, like, with Nomura and with Atuma, I was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those are some characters I remember from some comics. And it was like, they didn't play them up. They didn't make a big deal out of them. They were just there. They were part of the movie. I was just like, oh, this is masterful.
Yeah.
The way they just kind of mixed them in there. Like, yeah, they've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, don't get excited. We're not going to do anything super cool with them.
No,
like, they're just here the whole time. I was just like, that's cool.
It's very interesting. But yeah, I felt like their powers were just inconsistent. But then, like, again, everything else about the movie was great. Like, all the soundtrack. Whoa, amazing. Yep. Music, other than the Rihanna song I'm mid on.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else about it was amazing. And, like, the costume designs and, like, all that stuff. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it won an Oscar for something. Like, just something, right? Like,
yeah. I thought it was, like, again, you know, yes, there were a couple, you know, like, minor things. Like, I spoke, like, I felt like Riri was a little too,
different from her comic.
Yeah, not herself in the, from the comic. Not to say that she did a bad job, it was just different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were obviously some plot holes, like you said, that seemed like, okay, like, why are the Thunderbolts things, like, even in this at all?
Yeah.
Like, other than you're trying to say, like, hey, don't forget about us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that was about it. Like, you probably could have spent the entire movie just dealing with...
You didn't have to go to the States once the entire movie.
No. Or it could have been a completely different country.
Yeah.
Like it just didn't need it. But, like I said, at the end, I was like, okay. And then, you know, you get to that little end part where you find out that, you know, there's a child.
Yeah.
And the child's got the same name. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's how they're going to transition it back to...
So this was the conversation my wife and I had and a couple other people is how are they going to get him to be Black Panther? Are you think it's just going to wait until end of phase 6 and then, hey, next generation is Black Panther 2 or 3? Or do you think it's going to be some sort of time jump mechanic?
I think there'll be some kind of a fast forward.
Okay. Because, I mean, especially if Kang's the big... bad, like, it's easy to do some sort of time jump.
Yeah.
Which I mean, the thing that pisses me off the most about this phase is the fact that they haven't addressed the blip as much as they should.
No.
If they do a time jump, they're probably gonna ignore the ramifications.
Let's
be
honest.
But, yeah.
Like, things that happen most currently in the comic books, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
If you've read any of the comics, the planet gets wrecked. Not just a couple towns, the planet is wrecked. And then they just go blip and just fix it. And then everybody goes about their day like nothing happened. And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would expect that level of realism for them to be like, hey, remember when we all blipped and disappeared for 5 years? But it's just like it came up a few times and that's about it. Like people have just moved on, apparently.
Yeah. I think the plan is for us in January. So December, we're for sure going to have our top reads of the year because we always do our third annual at this point, which is crazy to say. January, I think we're going to do a big Phase 4 MCU recap slash looking forward in Phase 5. I definitely think for Wakanda Forever is top when it comes to Phase 4.
Phase 4, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think the movies were... a little rough this year. Even I would go back to just the entirety of Phase 4.
Yeah.
The movies themselves were just a little rough. And I would say they started off wellish with the TV series, and then they hit some bumps with some of the TV series. Either just the story was a little wishy-washy, or they got a little too... specific with certain groups of fans in the sense of saying like, oh, let's make a, like turning around and saying like, oh, let's make a Squirrel Girl movie. you know, like that would appease a certain group of fans that love that character. But I'm going to say like your larger majority of, especially MCU fans would be like, who? You know, like wouldn't understand what that is. So I think their choices in that regard didn't hit. I think like they were hoping that you know, Ms. Marvel, for instance, was very popular in the comics. At one point, she was in everything. She was in the Avengers. She was showing up in X-Men comics. She was everywhere. And I think they tried to capitalize that with the MCU as well. And it just didn't hit.
Yeah.
It just didn't land as well as...
I had some thoughts on that, but I think I'm going to save it for January just so we can go more in depth on it. So Yeah, that was our thoughts on Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
Go see it.
Go see it for sure. If you were still flip flopping on it. But yeah, that's the end of our podcast then. Let us know what you thought of the this episode. Make sure to follow us wherever you found us, and make sure to share it with your friends. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you all in December.
Take care.